You are listening to Heart of Mind. My name is Catherine Davis, and this is a program that enjoys exploration. And really, it's an exploration of the self. And as we explore into our own state of being, we really do learn more about each other because we are so much more alike than we have differences. So I do enjoy having an engagement with you and with various guests so that we can look at the various aspects of our lives and see how we can make that better. On today's program, we're going to be looking at intuition, and we're also going to be going a little bit beyond intuition. We're going to be hearing from a very special author, Judith Orloff, and then following the interview, we'll take a break, and when I come back, I want to talk a little bit deeper about intuition in terms of what it really is and how we can make an even deeper connection going beyond intuition and exploring where it actually comes from. When we get those insights of knowing that something is right or knowing that something is wrong, where is that really coming from? You know, and I think that when we look a little bit deeper, we can follow that road into a deeper aspect of who we are, and we can begin to have a more expansive view of the nature of what it is to be a human being. But first, we're going to hear an interview with Judith Orloff, and you'll hear a bit of music. That's Angélique Kidjo, Summertime. So let's go to the interview.
Judith Orloff, MD, is a psychiatrist, an empath, an intuitive healer, and New York Times best-selling author. Her latest book is The Power of Surrender, Let Go and Energize Your Relationships, Success and Well-Being. Her other bestsellers are Emotional Freedom, Second Sight, Positive Energy, and Intuitive Healing. Dr. Orloff synthesizes the pearls of traditional medicine with cutting-edge knowledge of intuition, energy, and spirituality. She also specializes in treating empaths, highly sensitive people. She is an assistant clinical professor of psychiatry at UCLA. Dr. Orloff passionately believes that the future of medicine involves integrating all the wisdom to achieve emotional freedom and total wellness. Her work has been featured on The Today Show, CNN, Oprah Magazine, and USA Today. And you will learn, we will all learn a great deal from her during today's program. And we're going to actually be talking to you about how you can connect with her work. I just want to say hello and welcome, Judith Orloff.
Oh, hi. I'm so happy to be on your show.
Yes, I'm very happy to have you. We're focusing in this moment on the power of surrender. Let go and energize your relationships, success, and well-being. And this is Judith's newest best-selling book. Judith, I really wanted to talk to you about your book. It's interesting. I was talking to someone about the work that you're doing and this whole concept of the power of surrender. And the person I was speaking to said, surrender? That must be the hardest thing to do in the world. And it was a concept. And it was a concept that was like, yeah. What are you talking about?
I know where they're coming from. The reason I wanted to write a book about surrender was that I wanted to learn to do it more in my life as a psychiatrist, as a woman, as an empath. because I know that holding and clenching and overthinking is not good for the human body or soul. And so I wrote the book to give people guidelines of how to make it easier to surrender, because I know your friend is so right. You know, when the ego gets involved, you just don't want to surrender anything.
But for your
well-being, you know, and your happiness, if you want happiness, it's very important to learn the skill.
So I think also part of the conversation I was having is because the person was equating surrender with giving up or giving over power to someone else. So can you speak to really what you mean by surrender?
Yes, that's the old definition of surrender, more of a military view. Mm-hmm. You know, where you surrender your troops. But that isn't what I'm saying. The way I'm using surrender is an evolutionary leap into how to be a different kind of person and achieve a higher level of wellness and peace. It means knowing what to let go of, like stress, toxic relationships, or anything that's not serving you in your life, like fear, anger, and worry, to try and find a better place to be so you don't spend the bulk of your life suffering. And so when you learn to let go at the right moments, it's the art of living. I'm not saying to lay down and be passive and be a doormat. I'm saying just know when. If you're talking with an emotional vampire, somebody I talk about in the book, draining people, you have to know how to do the dance with them so you're not run over. You have to learn how to set clear boundaries and limits without being triggered. And that means surrendering old patterns of being triggered by people who annoy you or upset you. So just that one letting go, that one surrender, can improve your life so enormously. I can't even say how important it is.
So for someone who is grasping at what you're speaking of, what does it look like to surrender? Does it mean, you're not saying disengage necessarily, but there's something happening internally where you're setting up this internal boundary, and, or you're not absorbing the person's negativity, not getting hooked into their negativity. Can you explain to people a little bit more of what this means?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sometimes surrender does mean letting go of certain people in your life who are toxic, negative, and that you don't need. But, you know, a lot of people you can't let go of, such as family members, you know, who are there. Or if you're working with a narcissist boss, let's say, and you don't want to change your job, you have to learn how to surrender your old patterns of dealing with it so that you can approach them in a more productive way. For instance, if you're involved with a narcissist, somebody who is totally me, 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 and has what's called a, quote, empathy deficient disorder, who doesn't have the capacity for empathy like other people, you have to learn to lower your expectations, frame things in terms of how it will serve them, and try and surrender all of the low self-esteem buttons that get pushed by this person, which means you have to go back in your own life and say, you know, was my father causing low self-esteem, and that's why I have it with my boss. But in any case, you're learning to see the person realistically, then surrender whatever unhealthy patterns you have with them so that you can be more at peace when you're dealing with difficult people.
That's really important. And just on a personal note, maybe this applies. I've recently been engaging with someone who has a tendency to accuse of whatever it is that they're thinking. So if they're thinking something, then they accuse you of treating them that way.
Right.
So is that kind of what you're speaking of? And then you find yourself trying to defend. Well, what are you talking about? So it's a curious thing to deal with people in a real-world situation like that.
That's exactly why I wrote the book, and that's what I'm hoping people can get from it, is how to deal with real-life situations in new ways, rather than just defending when you're accused.
Yeah.
Now, of course you want to defend when you're accused, but it's not really going to work, you know, with the person to change the pattern. You know, you want to be able to calm yourself, center yourself, and practice a technique that I talk about in the book called the sandwich technique. And that is when you want to get something across to somebody, you frame the difficult issue, the request that you want to change, such as, you know, my feelings are hurt when you accuse me of things that I don't feel that I do. In between, I love you as a friend, and it's so meaningful to me that we have this relationship, and I'd like to put in this request. Put in your request, then say something positive about the person again. Because if you use that technique that I talk about in the Surrender book, you can have a better chance of changing the dynamic.
That makes so much sense, and it's easy to forget, because if once you get triggered, you're just rolling down that hill, and it tends to decompensate the whole situation.
I really suggest to people in the book to write down your goals. For instance, if you're working with this one goal about being triggered by being accused, write down the solution saying, I will develop a more positive way of dealing with this, so that you remember. Because we forget. We think, people might be listening to me and say, that makes a lot of sense. But then when you get in the situation, you're triggered, bam, and you're off and running with the person again.
Mm-hmm.
And surrender means identifying the pattern you like to change and surrendering your tendency to be triggered, and looking at, why am I so triggered by this person? Who else accused me in my life, earlier on, that would make this more than annoying? Of course it's annoying when somebody accuses you, but why am I fighting with them about it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference. And just a simple success or powerful success of changing this one pattern can increase your energy level in your life so much. This one pattern. And in the book, I have a chapter on relationships and energy vampires, on how to surrender your old patterns with them. And as far as I'm concerned, if that's your issue, you can just read that chapter in the book. You don't have to read the rest of it if it doesn't resonate with you. The other issues, such as, how can I surrender unproductive patterns about success? How can I be more successful? Maybe that's what you're more interested in, so you can go to that chapter. But, I've written the book so that each chapter is really tailored to different needs you might have and what you can surrender.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think that's very powerful, but it is also a book that if someone did choose to read the whole book, which is actually what I would recommend, because these are all tools that weave into each other, really. And if you begin to look at yourself in terms of the wholeness of your being, then you do want to look at your relationships. You do want to look at your sexuality and your sensuality, and are you comfortable physically with people? You might want to look at where I am emotionally. So even though one of these things may stand out more for each of us, I think we could all stand to at least look at where we are in all these areas of our life, because truly, when you want to have a good life experience, you need to look at the whole self. So I think that the whole book is very valuable, and I would hope that people would take the time to read the whole book, because it's engaging and it's really helpful. And in your book, you talk about these different areas, and I'm wondering if you would give us like a little tidbit on each one so that people can understand how it works in each form. And you may have been already speaking about one of them, but you have like intellectual surrender, emotional, physical, and spiritual. Can you let people know what you mean by those different parts of ourselves?
Well, intellectual surrender means giving up the need to be right, or having ideas about how a person should be or behave, or how life should be. Life should treat me more fairly. That kind of idea, of course, but life is unfair at times. So the nature of, it's understanding the nature of life and letting go of rigid beliefs that don't serve you. That's intellectual surrender. And holding on to beliefs that do serve you. I mean, I'm constantly reevaluating my beliefs every day, so it's a constant changing process. And then emotional surrender can be surrendering worry, which is so big, so big. I mean, imagine a life where you worry 50% less. It's just a beautiful life. And I'm realistic because I know people worry, and I'm a psychiatrist, and I talk to people all the time, and they worry. Worry is a human emotion, but just letting go of it and having faith and trust more, replacing worry with faith and trust, surrendering worry. Surrendering fear to not lead a fear-driven life. This fear can just sabotage you in every area. And then physical surrender, sexual surrender, is letting go to your own sensuality, to not just staying up in your head, to letting go, to feel the breeze. I'm not talking about having sex necessarily, but it could apply to that. But just opening up your sensual relationship to your body, feeling the breeze, feeling the sunlight. Just don't think your way down the street. Feel your way down the street. You know, really be a whole person in feeling your ankles and your calves and your thighs and letting go to a sense of your body's innate sensuality, sacred sensuality. And, you know, that's related to spiritual surrender, which is surrendering to the higher angels that are at work in your life, surrendering to a higher power in your life, whatever that is, however you define it. You know, and just knowing that you're not alone and that you're a vessel to do good. I strongly believe that when you make a spiritual surrender, what I do every day is that I ask to be, you know, let in the kingdom of love, you know, so that I can be in the kingdom of spirit, so I can be in the right place when I start my day. You know, not just in my head and my to-do list. That's a small, small portion of who you are. Now, you want to open up your day with surrendering to spirit and being a vessel for spirit to work through you so that you can make contributions, large and small, to your own life, to your community, and to your world. And it's a beautiful thing to walk around the world and be aware that you are connected to spirit. So there's intellectual surrender, there's spiritual, physical, and emotional surrender. And, you know, you're just work on them, chip away at them little by little, and the more you do, the freer you will be.
And that's something that I think everyone longs for, to have that space of freedom, and freedom to me is to be at peace inside.
Exactly.
No matter what's going on in the world, if you can be at peace within yourself and with yourself, then it doesn't make so much difference what's going on around you. But you also speak about trust. And are we speaking about self-trust or trust in greater power or all those things?
All those things. Trusting the self is important. And that's why I write so much about intuition. And that's the topic of my workshop on the 13th, is intuition, is learning to trust the still small voice inside of yourself and not second guess it. When you get a gut feeling somebody is not good for you, you better trust it or else you're in for big trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, you will get into a bad relationship if you don't trust it. Or trust that something is good for you. You know, when you get a yes inside, you get, this is exciting. You know, this feels right. Maybe it doesn't fit my vision, but it feels right. I'm going to try it. And so you're not afraid to try something new when you get an intuitive yes. So that's trusting the self, is trusting your intuition.
Mm-hmm. And when people feel that resistance, maybe because they've had fear, they went and did something already and they didn't have a good outcome, what would you say to people to lessen that fear resistance to moving into that state of trust?
Be very gentle and loving with yourself. Fear is so daunting. I think it's the biggest human challenge we have, is to deal with fear. Mm. And when fears accumulate, they stand in the way of feeling spirit. Everything becomes dark, so you can't see the light. So it has a lot of power. I know that as a physician, you know what, and personally, when I've let my fears build up, what it can do. And so you want to just very gently identify your fears, top five fears, whatever they are, fear of intimacy, fear of lack of success, fear I'll never find my soulmate, whatever your fears are, and to very gently ask them to be relieved and to say, I'm going to have trust and faith that my dreams will come true, rather than having that negative voice going round and round and round of fear. I'm so afraid. Nothing's going to happen. I'm so anxious. It's never going to stop. That's the nature of the fear voice versus take a breath, exhale, bring yourself back to the moment. That's always the surrender with fear. If you bring yourself back to the moment instead of making the worst case scenarios of the future, that relieves a lot of fear immediately. Just say, I can handle walking down the street, hopefully. I can handle getting out of bed. I could handle going into my job just for today. So that helps with fear a lot.
And I want to remind all of you, we are speaking to Judith Orloff, MD, and she's been telling us about her newest book, The Power of Surrender, a roadmap for helping us let go of our fears and anxieties. That's what Deepak Chopra says about this book. And it helps us to let go and energize your relationships, success, and well-being. And it's a very beautiful book. And it's true, the name of it indicates what's here, The Power of Surrender. But it's a very powerful book because it helps you to be empowered through your own actions, through taking steps, through understanding, being gentle with yourself, and making that transformation. Now, what I love about doing this work, and the reason that I bring people to the air, such as yourself, Judith, is because I see how much of a difference you're making in people's lives. I have followed your career and gone to different seminars. I've read different books, starting with Positive Energy. And I can just see how much it has made a transformation for people. And I enjoy bringing you to the air. And also for our listeners, I want you to understand that this is something that's important, that can really make a difference for you. And beyond, we're interested in your well-being. And for that reason, because we're really interested in the well-being of each and every one of you as our listeners, we also want to expand this program to tell you a little bit about what Judith is doing. And Judith, you're going to be doing a special workshop on called Second Sight, Awakening the Power of Your Intuition. Now, we've been talking about intuition, so tell us something about your workshop.
Well, the workshop is about how you can tap into your intuition and trust it. And what are the techniques to open up your intuition, what fears you might have. I'm going to talk about the types of intuition, which include being an empath. And an empath is a very sensitive person who's very open intuitively and spiritually and has a big heart, but tends to take on the angst of the world and the stress of the world, so they can be very tired. They're misdiagnosed with agoraphobia, chronic anxiety disorder, depression, you know, because they feel so much that they have certain symptoms which can't be really treated adequately by conventional psychiatry, because empaths who are intuitive really need to learn how to set boundaries and really protect themselves more from the negative energies of the world so they can enjoy their gifts. So that's going to be part of it. And there'll be exercises on how you can tune into your intuition and actually ask a question and get a response. Intuitive response to whatever is baffling you.
That was Angelique Kidjo singing Summertime, and we were listening to Judith Orloff. And Judith Orloff is the author of The Power of Surrender. We're going to take a brief break, and then we'll be back in a moment to speak a little bit more about surrender intuition and how to travel deeper into recognition of self through those powerful processes. Stay tuned.
I am round, I am green, I am blue, I am Mother Earth to you. I am round, I am green, I am blue, I am Mother Nature too. I am mountain, I am valley, I am rivers running through. I am mighty oak and oh, the lowly weed. I have given birth to everything that you will ever need. Air that's pure, water too for you. I am round, I am green, I am blue. Mother, suffering too. I am earth, I am sad, I am blue. I am mother, struggling too. How I struggle to stay balanced, and I struggle to be free. How I struggle with decisions which are made in spite of me. No more war and no more killing, no more greed. Do you agree? Do you care? Can you care? Please care. I am round, I am green, I am blue. I am mother. So are you. We are one, you are I, can you see? We're together eternally. Love your neighbor and all strangers, you are they are you. We will heal with every thought and word and deed. All together we can balance nature, change the weather too. Earth is home to you. Love your neighbor and all strangers, you are they are you. We will heal with every thought and word and deed. Every day remember Earth, remember I am you, for I'm your mother too. I am round, I am green,
You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine. And on today's program, we were speaking in our first segment with Judith Orloff, MD, and the author of The Power of Surrender, Let Go and Energize Your Relationships, Success, and Well-Being. And really what this book tells to me, what it really says is that for the most part, we are the ones who get in our own way. We are the ones who, based on perhaps our old experiences, maybe it's based on how we are raised, maybe it's based on the environment that we find ourselves in. But generally speaking, we end up creating whatever mess we're in. If we haven't created it, then very often we exacerbate it by hooking into something and not really taking the moment, taking the time to step back before reacting and responding to all the things that are around us. So I really enjoyed that interview, and I think it's really offers some good advice. Now, one of the interesting things in that interview, I played this music, Summertime, by Angelique Kidjo. And she's a very well-known Benin artist, performing artist, musician, singer, dancer. In a way, it's nature causing all of us to slow down and surrender just a little bit. And I have found that the best way to get through it, the weather, the heat, and the kind of agitation that it creates in people, is to think of it as just that, an opportunity to slow down. So I try to give myself a little bit of extra time if I need to get somewhere. And I really walk slowly and breathe deeply and allow myself to really do, as Judith was describing, to take in the trees, take in the neighborhood, take in people's faces, and make the whole journey about something other than getting from one place to another place, so that it's not so much the destination and it's not so much whatever the objective might be to get to that place, but to really just move through life, move through walking through the streets, engaging with people in a way that is very soft and very gentle. And I have found that it really does make for an easier way. It allows me to ease into this temperature, into the weather, into the kind of stress that it brings when it goes on for many, many days. And I found myself reminding myself, well, this actually feels like a vacation. Have you ever gotten on a plane to go to some Caribbean island or Mexico or someplace where it's warm? And when you get off the plane, the first thing that hits you is the intense heat of the region. But our attitude towards it is entirely different. It's like, I'm on vacation, you know, and you just go on and enjoy and sort of bask in the sun. And I decided, why don't we bring this kind of attitude to our every day and to our every moment? We don't have to be so rattled and in turmoil over making deadlines, over getting someplace, over getting something done. But let's pretend that, you know, this is really vacation time. It's meant for taking it easy. Summer is meant for relaxing and remembering our childhood. Summer is for enjoying whatever breaks we can take, whatever vacations we have. And I have found that by bringing that idea into my every moment, into whatever it is that I'm doing, it has so transformed my experiences, and I'm actually got moved from that place of being stressed out to really being liberated. And I bring this up because this is really part of the work that we can do with our own lives on so many different levels in any area that we choose, is to have a measure of imagination and constancy and awareness of the thoughts that we hold, because it is our thoughts that give us the stress more than the situation that gives us the stress that we experience in our lives. So I thought that would be a fun way to really think about moving through the world in this hot, hot time of the year. And the other thing I wanted to talk about is going deeper than the imagination, going deeper than the intuition, and going deeper into the self. Probably most of us have had those experiences where you got a hunch about something or had a gut feeling about something. And when you followed it, you found some reward at the end of that chain of events. It usually tends to work out when we follow that intuition. And when we don't follow it, when we caution ourselves or think that, oh, that's silly, I can't do it, usually in the end we're like, darn, I really should have done that thing. I really should have gone that way. It might have been better if I had taken that other route. And so, you know, that's going to happen. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. But what I really wanted to begin to contemplate is going deeper into the self to discover where this intuition is really coming from. And to think about what is it within our nature that provides this intuition. And from my perspective, it is very much interwoven with our spirituality, with our existence as spiritual beings. And when we allow ourselves to move in harmony, in connection with this understanding, then the understanding begins to open up to an actual feeling and expression of your divinity coming through in your life, so that we begin to really recognize that voice a little bit more audibly, so that it rises beyond the gut hunch to a real sentence, to a real guidance that we can actually feel and sometimes hear. And so I wanted to invite you to think about that. And we can really begin to make this connection through our meditation process. And for those who don't go into, you know, cross-legged, sitting down meditation, it's really a matter of contemplation. It's allowing your awareness to move from the busy thoughts a little bit deeper into yourself. And it may seem that there's not too much going on below your thoughts, but there's a tremendous amount of our reality and of our existence that exists below the level of our thoughts. And I would say our thoughts are the least real thing about us. So if you were to think for a moment of one of these Russian dolls, you know those little dolls, you open up one, there's another doll in it, you open up that one, there's another little one in it, and you could keep going. It usually is four or five dolls nestled into each other. And if you think about yourself in that way, it's kind of representative of how we have layers of being all contained within ourselves. So the outer doll, the big one, you could even think of as being your ego. This is the part of me that interfaces with the world, that has to look out the window and know to if I need an umbrella or if I need a sweatshirt. You know, the part of me that interacts with people, that is concerned for my career and what I'm doing in the world. And so that's kind of the ego self. Nothing wrong with it, but it's how we negotiate the world. So when you think in terms of going into that deeper self, remember the image of the little Russian doll and just pull off the top, put it aside, and think in terms of, you know, I'm going to take my ego, my concern for the world, set them aside, and I'm going to go a little bit deeper into myself. And then you begin to explore what this next layer of your being might be. And it might be your subconscious, it might be a sense of, it still might be a worry body or a pain body or something that's holding your history, your DNA, your genetics, your experiences where you draw all of your worry from. So if that comes up for you, the worry and the history, then visualize yourself removing that second layer of doll, the little top of the doll. And then you'll have another little layer underneath. And then imagine yourself seeping into that layer to see how that feels. And as you do this, you'll begin to get to a point where you're going to feel a sense of, ah, this is how I know that I can feel. I feel very relaxed at this layer of myself, maybe a little bit carefree, not so much concerned about all the stuff that I set aside, maybe not even connected to the deeper self, but I feel carefree. I feel playful. And then you can begin to explore that part of yourself. And as you get the feel of that part, then you'll be able to recognize when that part of you is sending you a message that you might receive as an intuitive hit. So maybe that part of you is the one that says, I don't want to go to work today. I want to go to the park. Or that might be the one that says, I know I'm obligated to go to that gathering, but I know I won't enjoy it. I want to do something fun. And so you can begin to recognize that this is a part of you that's alive and real and is trying to reach into your awareness so that you could have more fun in your life. Again, you can make your decision to follow or not, but it's to become aware of that part of you. And okay, that fun part of you might be a little bit irresponsible, so maybe you want to put that fun part of you, that level of the doll, aside, and you go down a little bit deeper, and what do you find? Well, maybe there's a level at which you can say, well, okay, I have certain responsibilities maybe in the world, but all of that worldly stuff is not very important to who I am as a spiritual being. And then you can start to explore that feeling of being just spiritual being, being connected to nature, being connected to the divine world, and just allowing yourself to be liberated in that space of spiritual freedom. And from there, you also receive messages into your intuition, and those messages will be a little bit more far-reaching. It might be, well, if you take this train and go to that bookstore, go check it out. And if you were to go check it out, you could, in that bookstore, meet your soulmate. So that spiritual level of intuition usually gives you no rhyme or reason for its guidance. It's just the urge to do something, and it might be wild and crazy, but when you do that, when you say, you know what, I'm just going to go to that bookstore, or I'm just going to go over to Starbucks, and just because. And that's when the real magic begins to occur, because you're connecting into that part of you that has such a greater perspective. And when you're connecting to the spiritual part of who you are, then your spiritual part, your higher self, is already communicating with the higher self of the person who is also looking for you. And so on a spirit level, they're trying to figure out how to get the two of you together. So your spirit is saying, go to Starbucks, go to Starbucks. Your partner, your future partner's spirit is saying the same thing. Go to Starbucks, go to the bookstore. And if you both choose to do that, then there is that opportunity for magic. And then we can go, if you want to go deeper, you can go deeper. And then you could keep taking away these dolls, the layers of the doll, and just give yourself an opportunity to explore what's underneath. And you will come upon a level of your being that's really connected on a much more refined vibrational level, where you can begin to connect with guides, your spirit guides, where you can begin to connect with the vibrational presence of what we think of as angels or spiritual essences. And that's another real deep guidance, because that really begins to be the level at which you can really heal yourself. That's where you can bring your and surrender the things that you want to let go of. I have all this anger in my upper layers. Help me release this. I have a problem. I can't really get my finances together. I seem to be adverse to being successful. That's the layer where you can receive this assistance and guidance that can make all the difference in the world. And as you consider and keep going into layers of yourself, you will continue to expand and explore various aspects of who you are. Because in all these layers of self, these are all facets of your own being. And of course, at the very center, at the very core of you, is where that divine God spark resides. It actually resides inside of you. And so as you practice going deeper and deeper within to yourself, then you can reach a point where you could just sit, no thoughts, no worries, no emotions, and you just begin to merge and meld with that deep, loving presence that we each have inside of ourselves. And that's a very powerful thing to do, because it's at that point that we begin to recognize that we are so deeply loved in this world, in this creation, that there's no cause and need for self-judgment and self-worry, because when we can make that journey into the deepest part of ourselves, then we can connect and understand the fullness of who we are. And we can do this in stages, but, you know, you don't do it all at once. You could do a layer at a time. But when we're back into our everyday, you know, when all the dolls are stacked back together and you're walking around the world in your outer shell, your ego self, then you're not isolated in that shell. You can feel the layers that are inside of you. And when something rises into your awareness, some advice or some guidance, then you can recognize it much more readily, and you can begin to have more of your attention focused to this inner guidance. So you do things in the world, but what you're doing in the world is being nourished and guided by the deepest part of ourselves. So that's what I really wanted to really bring out to you and encourage you to work with this exercise of the dolls, the Russian doll, and do a meditation one day, just lifting one level, and just get acclimated. And then the next day, perhaps lift another level and feel the acclimation of what's underneath. And this is another way of being engaging and active in our meditation. We can be very creative. It's not just sitting silently or trying to ignore our thoughts. It can be a very creative process. And it can be a wonderful journey as we go inward to our deepest, most divine essence, and then allowing that essence to rise and expand through the layers of our being until we're actually walking in the world as a manifestation of that divine expression. So very powerful. I want to encourage you to check that out, to try it out. Intuition is an invaluable source of wisdom we can all tap into, but we need to learn how to awaken it, recognize its messages, and trust the guidance it offers. For those of you who'd like to join me for a free Qigong class, that's moving meditation, if you'd like to connect with me, you can do that by email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, or you can leave a message at 347-480-1694. That's 347-480-1694. or you can email heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Again, the music I played today actually started out with Frog Dancing. That's the name of the theme, by David Anthony Clark. And then following, we heard from Angelique Kidjo, Summertime. And I want to invite you to stay tuned. There's so much going on here, you'll never be bored as long as you stay tuned and stay connected. I've been Catherine Davis, and this Heart of Mind Radio. Have a beautiful weekend, and bye for now.
I hear them in the music on my radio. Wisdom of the winds, faces in the clouds, rhythm of the rains, oh mountain standing proud. Prepare me for a special place. Tell me I've no time to waste. Challenge me to face my life's request. Encourage me to do my best. Everywhere I go and everything I see, flying in the air, speaking truth through me. I am a curious spirit child who fell to earth through a crack of lightning. But God, so kind and merciful, sent all souls to guide me on. Yeah.
teach me